WOKV News Time 7:42.
And last week or the week before, we had Executive Director of First Coast Crime Stoppers, Chase Robinson, on to give us an update in the Breon Allen case. And now you're here to talk about the Julia Vegas cold case homicide. You guys are doing I don't want to say special press conference, but it is a first of its kind press conference, and that is coming up. Tell us, first of all, let's update the public on what is happening with the tips that are to be paid out in the Breon Allen case. Has that anonymous tipster come forward yet to claim his or her tip?
So the tipster has not come forward yet, but I can attest to, I actually just got back from a Florida Association of Crime Stoppers conference, and it's looking like that $25,000 reward could be the biggest payout ever for a Crime Stopper agency in the state of Florida. So I really think it speaks to the community taking a stand against acts of violence. While we haven't paid it out yet, it will be there. We're just waiting on the tipster to reach out to us to collect the reward.
And what is special about this next case, this next cold case that you are highlighting?
So I think this speaks to the impact that not only Crime Stoppers, First Coast Crime Stoppers, is having in our local area, but actually had an individual reach out from Chicago. She's a victims advocacy agent up there in Chicago. And there's a family, the Vegas family, whose mother was murdered on November 26, 1999. Her name was Julia Vernice Vegas. And they've been living up in the Chicago area for the past 18 years. And with, you know, 25 years coming up on no leads on their mother's case, they decided to come down to Jacksonville and want to do a public release on, you know, the updates on the case, try to draw media attention. And with the case happening back in 1999, I mean, if you even do a basic Google search, there's not a lot out there on it. So we want to give these family members, specifically these two daughters coming down, a voice to show the kind of person that their mother was, the details on the case, where it occurred. And that actually leads me into the whole new avenue of the digital press conference opportunities that we have. And that's also a first of its kind in the state of Florida for Crime Stoppers, that we can have this transparency with the public, right? Because trust with law enforcement is hard to gain. And we want to be that avenue that the community can use to trust law enforcement and can trust giving information about crimes to law enforcement through Crime Stoppers.
And is it possible, or is it the hope, that with things like more digital press conferences, people who may not otherwise come forward are going to be able to see this, not just in real time when it happens, but be able to go back and look at it and see, hey, you know, is this something that jogs my memory? Mm-hmm. Was I there when this happened? Mm-hmm. Do I remember hearing something?
Yes, and that's what I really hope it draws from the public, right? So they can take a stroll down memory lane, if you will. I mean, this is all the way back, in this case specifically, back in 1999. And one unique thing we're going to be including with our digital press conferences is satellite imagery, right? And satellite imagery now goes back, I mean, to the late 1980s. So we can actually do aerial flyovers of specific areas of Jacksonville. In this case, it'd be the Springfield area, back in 1999, and kind of show how the area has even changed up until 2025, right? So it could be a neighborhood back in 1999, could be a strip mall nowadays, so people can understand, wow, okay, I actually live three doors down from where this happened. And just giving that information via these digital press conferences just really can provide the community tools to fight back against crime.
Chase, the tools that law enforcement had, the detectives in 1999, while they had obviously the gumshoe work of a detective, a homicide detective, they didn't have the kind of technology that's available. Is technology helping to also breathe new life into this case and others that have gone cold?
It is. The biggest tool is a DNA sequencing when it comes to going back for cold case homicides. They can really link actual individuals to crimes that happened, in this case, 25 years ago. But also with technology like Crime Stoppers, where there's ways to reach the public like never before that wasn't present in 1999. I mean, with our P3 mobile app and our website, people can submit pictures and videos that they might have that, you know, could be in a shoebox in their closet that they never brought out before. And getting that anonymously to law enforcement, that's never been possible before until now. And that's why we're really trying to urge the public to utilize just methods that we're reaching out to you to help solve and bring justice to these families that have been grieving for 25 years.
And you're not only having a digital press conference, you guys are all going out into the community as well.
Yes. So Julia Vega, she was found actually stabbed to death in a shed behind a home at 1438 Hubbard Street. And that's in the Springfield area of Jacksonville. So what we're going to do is we're going to be going with The two daughters, the representative from the Chicago Victims Advocacy Group, hopefully members of Mad Dads, Project Cold Case, possibly the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, to have a united group go through and hand out flyers and tell people, hey, here's who we're looking for. They can keep the flyer, has all the information about the case on the front, all the information about how they can report information to Crime Stoppers anonymously on the back, with the Florida statutes guaranteeing their anonymity as well, and just being more hands-on with the community and showing that this is, you know, a real outreach program for the community and that there is a cash reward of $3,000 if someone is arrested in the murder of Julia Vernice Vegas.
And so her daughters still live with this and are haunted by it. Have you been in touch with them, and how are they feeling emotionally leading up to this event and the opportunity to try to, again, elicit a lead, something that can bring them closure?
So I've been in contact with both the daughters and the individual from the victim advocacy group, and it's been rough for them over the past 25 years, and one of the reasons they actually went up to Chicago was to remove themselves from the area just because of how traumatic it was. So for them to want to return specifically in person to do, you know, for example, the digital press conference, to do walks, it just shows how they haven't forgotten about their mom, and also, too, how they want to elicit to the public that hopefully the public hasn't forgotten as well. And that's why they reached out to us and hoping to partner to gain that information that the public might have.
And sure, that's probably part of the healing process for them, if not to give them closure, then to help make them feel like they're doing something proactively to help solve their mother's killing.
Exactly. And one thing, too, is every homicide case, we automatically offer up to $3,000 cash reward for anyone that's arrested based off of information given to Crime Stoppers. And that's something that this family wasn't aware of. So I think making families of cold case homicides, maybe homicides that happened recently, that it's not just specific cases that we have a reward for. It's every single case. It's every single family. So I really implore families to use that as a tool to hopefully elicit information from the public.
One final question, and that is, you know, you have obviously made a big commitment to enhancing the community relations aspect of what Crime Stoppers is doing. Are you seeing more calls come in?
Yes, we are. So we're seeing across the board, not only the number of tips we're receiving, the rewards we're approving, the value of the rewards we're approving, and also the rewards we're paying out, right? So even though our current collect rate on our rewards is about 62%, which, you know, someone looking from the outside in might consider that fairly low. It's actually high for a Crime Stopper agency. But what I would really want the public to know is that the tips work and the tips are provided to law enforcement. For example, I mean, recently we were getting tips where say Neptune Beach Police Department will post something on their social media page. We get a tip in and a suspect is arrested by 4 p.m. that same day. So it's working. People are using social media. They're using the transparency that we're trying to provide so they can really play an active role in keeping their community safe.
FCCrimeStoppers.com, 866-845-TIPS, and we'll look for this digital news conference that'll be taking place in a couple of weeks. Chase Robinson, the executive director at First Coast Crime Stoppers. Always good to see you. Thanks.
Yep, thank you very much.
WOKV News Time, 751.